Join me, please, in Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. While you're turning there, I hope you can join me also in gratitude and in amazement. You understand what we've already done? We together have sounded forth our hearts, sounded forth these words of the song to the God of the universe, the God, the King of the ages. He wants our voices, and he's heard them this morning. Let us rejoice. Let us also think no one in this room old enough to think about it can say, I have no voice. Indeed you do. We have voice before God. Let me ask you to think about that for just a moment. We sang just a moment ago, this is the supper of the Word. The Word, probably the language there of John 1, right in the beginning was the Word. But we could also imagine this is the supper talked about in the Word, given by the Word. And in the song, it is precious. The precious feast. We're also in the song, we sang, his body is seen in this bread, in this occasion. We're going to talk about that seeing in just a moment. And also we sang, with the last advent, we unite. The last advent, the second coming of Christ, is linked to this bright chain of loving rite. This ceremony is a rite. It is a meal that is ceremonial, that is a precious feast, and with it, we declare our determination to do what God asks us to do. Let us marvel at our opportunity. In Proverbs 29, 18, I find these words. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. I want you to think with me about that, this tendency to cast off restraint and how that might apply to us. Now, I believe this proverb has a general application to many things, but I believe we can fit it to this as well. Don't you know that in regard to this precious feast, we could cast off restraint? One way we would show that is simply by not doing it. Why should we bother with this petty crumb and tiny sip? We could cast off restraint and not do it. Or we could cast off restraint and say, let us lounge about here with our feet propped up on the steps and eat chips and salsa. Casting off restraint. We could simply do it erratically, occasionally, once every 7 years, once every lifetime. We could cast off restraint. And here we're told at least part of that casting off results from a lack of a prophetic vision. I think in contrast, I conclude that the presence of a prophetic vision lures us. The presence of a prophetic vision makes us, draws us to something, draws us to this occasion because we have seen the vision. One of the reasons I like thinking about a prophet in this regard, at least part of what the work of a prophet is to see. Remember how Ezekiel opens up? I saw the heavens were open and I saw visions of God. And of course, in the book called Revelation, in prophetic mode, I saw. So prophets reveal, they tell us what they have seen, and in doing so, they teach us what to see. I want to suggest to you this morning that Jesus, our prophet, priest, and king, teaches us what to see in this moment. It is what enables us to see a precious feast. You do understand that our singing shows we already understand at least part of what we're doing. No surprises there. I want to give you another translation of Proverbs 29:18 from the Christian Standard Bible. Without revelation, people run wild. Okay, it's a little hard to picture this group running wild, but I'm trying to. It's getting scary. But you understand, the reason it's hard to picture that is because we have already inculcated in ourselves the vision, the splendid vision that God has given us, and we have restrained ourselves, no longer wild. The second part of that translation says, but one who follows divine instruction will be happy. So let's think a moment what it is that Jesus teaches us to see. And here my mind goes immediately, as I'm sure yours does too, because we are restrained, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And there, if you're looking with me there in verse 24, I'm going to note for you three things. These are very familiar. You know them. Jesus takes bread and says, this is my body. So he wants you to look at bread and see flesh. But that was before the fact. We know the fact of the blood or the flesh torn on the cross and in the events leading up to the cross. But it's possible to see flesh in this moment. And he invites us, he calls us to see this. Look at this and see this. Similarly, well, I want to think with the way it's worded there, he takes the cup, as we're reported by Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, takes the cup and says, this is the new covenant in my blood. So the cup, of course, is just a figurative reference for that which is contained within the cup. And so here we have the fruit of the vine. And he says, see my blood. But he doesn't just say, see my blood. He says, see the covenant. And brothers and sisters, I hope you cannot open your Bibles without seeing the covenant. I believe that when you understand that you have been initiated into a relationship with the Lord of the universe, the King of the ages, that you approach the world differently, you see differently, and you respond in all the parts of your life in a different way, and you respond differently right here. We understand that this little bit is no mere little bit, but it is, well, the weight of the ages, the plan of God embodied in the covenant that God intended and Jesus enacted. I hope you can join me in being awaited by the gravity of this significance here, the covenant, the new covenant in my blood. And I hope you can be grateful. I am partner with the Lord of the universe. Let's make one more glance. Join me in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, reference to another meal. But I want to include this because it seems fitting to train ourselves by reminder that meals matter, that we need to learn to see in such a way that we are drawn to be restrained, that we are drawn to fulfill the purpose of God, and therefore, as the verse said, one who follows a divine instruction will be happy. Chapter 19, one verse. This, we're drawing near the end, right? 22 is the last chapter, but here in 19. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. People make a big deal of wedding meals. We understand that around here. We've been part of one another's meal of weddings in that way. They're a big deal. If you don't think so, ask the bride. If you don't think so, ask her mother. But here, this is the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Lamb joined with his bride, the church, and all those who have chosen to be one of the called, to be among the faithful with the Lamb. This morning, as one of the words Don read to us from Psalm 19, I hope you can meditate a bit and be happy as you participate in this fulfilling of the commandment of God, remembering him, proclaiming his death.